The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. It is a good Tuesday. We will have Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus with us. And Pro Football Focus does the analytics side of things, and analytics are a big part of the game today. If you're like me, I'm in my mid-50s. I can watch a football game and see it a way that I've seen it for a long time. If you're like most 18 to 34-year-olds, which is the number one demographic of our site, they see sports differently. They see fantasy football. They see analytics. The get off my lawn, this is the way that it's always been, and I want it to be that way, it's not going to work. So it's the, if you're going to go by the way of the dinosaur, then you will go by the way of the dinosaur, right? So I love analytics. And so what happened with the Cardinals? That's why I want to have Sam on. I mean, what does Pro Football Focus see that happened here in Arizona this year that we had an absolute meltdown of 5-2 and 6-3 to not making the postseason? And I'm still angry about it. Like, there's other things in life that are more important. I get it. But I'm just angry that a team that now has the longest running stretch of not making the postseason, it is your Arizona Cardinals. And they were this close. But you could see it as the season went along. It's like, man. So you go back to, well, you know, it really didn't come down to the kicker. Well, guess what? It did come down to the kicker. If you were to go through a couple of those games now, it's always easy in hindsight. But when we get the, oh, you know, it's just, you know, they're this close and it's a good team. Like, no, no, good teams make the playoffs. No team that is sitting outside of the playoffs today can say, boy, do we have a good team? There are some teams whose trajectory is heading this way. I get it. There's some years where it's, you know what? We've been bad for so long. The Cleveland Browns, the Chicago Bears, you know, the Buffalo Bills. And the trajectory is, wow, you know what? I can actually see light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know if I see light at the end of the tunnel with this current cast of characters. I don't. So we'll talk with Sam here in a few minutes. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. Title sponsor for 2021. Sports 360 AZ and the Football AZ Show, which is tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. So I like to recognize good journalism. I do. I don't like to recognize clickbait. I don't like to recognize stuff that's just a splashy headline. I don't. Kent Summers wrote something today that he took the stand of keeping Cliff Kingsbury is the right move. When Kent speaks, he's a Pro Football Hall of Fame writer. He's been in the Valley a long, long time. He's a voter at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is someone that I have a great deal of respect for because he's measured. Who could forget the Derek Anderson exchange between Kent and Derek Anderson? When things are good, things are good. When things are bad, things are bad. He's not going to be bullied by organizations. When things are lousy, you call it as you see it. And so I think to take the stand, I myself didn't feel like there was a need to take a stand. I think the easy overreaction Sunday, Monday is fire the coach. Fire him. Get him out of here. Now, I'm not saying Cliff Kingsbury is a great coach yet. When Bobby Hurley, I'll just use him as an example. When Bobby Hurley took over, remember how he'd lose his mind and we'd put guests on the air talking about he doesn't coach that many games. He just doesn't coach that much at this level. And he'd be on refs, and eventually his dad, I had his dad on, I said, give him some time, he needs more games. Ray Anderson would tell me off the air, he hasn't coached that many games. And yeah, Ray had to talk to him about it, but I think that Cliff is in the same space. Are there moments when I look at the Cardinals and say, well, this is pretty good, pretty good? The easy way to go is, well, after 2 years, they made a mistake. That's the problem here. That is the problem in pro sports, is the owner that always wants to push the eject button, okay? People forget the year the Cardinals went to the Super Bowl. They played a game against the Minnesota Vikings, and they were bad. And my understanding from people that were on the field that saw it, the owner let the coach know how bad they were and how unhappy he was. He probably denied it because he always, anyways. But what happened that year? They flipped the switch and they went on a run. You're going to have times where things get tough. You just are. And if you can weather it together and get through it together. Now, there comes a point of, what are we doing here exactly? I'll give you the example of Steve Keim. I've seen Steve personally a number of times this past 6 months during the season. We have some mutual friends. We see one another. We talk. And he knows that a year and a half ago, I wrote Steve should be replaced by some people with the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's a couple names of the Steelers that I thought were pretty good candidates. Steve had a rough patch. But Steve and Michael's bond, it will be headline news. Firing Cliff, if Cliff goes over the cliff, and all coaches are hired to be fired, that's the way it works. Unless you're, you know, Mike Tomlin, if you're in a space where you have ownership that is so committed, and you're Bill Cowher, you're Mike Tomlin, and you can just go do your thing. You're Pete Carroll, you just go do your thing. John Schneider, the GM at the Seahawks, Detroit's chasing him. It would be a pretty smart move by Detroit if they're able to convince him to go to that dumpster fire that never gets turned around, that always has problems. Our little slice of heaven here is having problems similar. It's been since 2015 that they've been to the postseason. I start getting cranky because fans deserve better. You guys, you deserve better than to sit here every year and be given the whole, you know, about March 1st, calendar will turn, we're going to get all excited, everything's going to be great, and I'm going to sit over here and say, time out, you can only prove it on the field, please don't try to do the PR battle of how great the Red Sea is and all that stuff. Just win. Win. Are you going to tell me now without fans in the stands that that's the reason why you couldn't beat CJ Beathard? Is that the reason why you couldn't beat John Wolford? Is because fans weren't in the stands. I know it's a great experience for you fans, but understand this. Those are the guys that are getting paid. You're the ones that are paying them. You are the ones that are putting down your dollars to go watch this stuff. So you should be angry and upset to the point of, I'm not going to renew my season tickets until they get it figured out. If you're a partner of theirs, you support them. I get it. I know several of their partners, and they're not happy, but they support them if they feel as though things are going the right way. I was talking to, this is more of a business rant. I was talking the other night to someone, a big cigar in the industry in the Valley. And I'm not going to say which team, because I just don't think that's fair here, but he did say, you know, on the pro side, there's one team right now that just doesn't get it. They just don't get it, Brad. And this is someone that gets hit up all the time to go write big, big, big checks to these pro sports teams because that's where they want to be branded. And he's not going to buy into it. Even if the team were good, he's not going to buy into it. So, you know, when you're sitting here after 2 days after the disaster that was and what's happened over the last few weeks, the easy way to go is to fire the coach. What really happens if you fire the coach? Once again, you have a new staff. Once again, you have a new system. Once again, you have all these new pieces and parts that you have to bring in and retool, and they're going to bring in their own players, and then you're in this constant, constant grind. It's like when Josh Rosen was here. How many quarterback coaches did Josh have between UCLA and the Cardinals? Far too many for him to ever succeed. Is it fair to wonder about Kyler Murray? Yeah, it is. Are there moments where he looks great? Yeah, I'm going to talk to Sam here in a couple minutes from Pro Football Focus about Kyler Murray. What did they see? Where does he have to get better? I watch Kyler Murray. He's not a great thrower. It's just what I see. It's what my eyeballs see. He's a terrific runner. Man, is he exciting. But is that body going to be able to withstand the hits? Is that style of play, while it's exciting to watch, when it gets to nut cutting time in games in December? Remember, if you just knew this program, my stance always is August is a total waste of time with football. And in September, those games have turned into somewhat preseason, somewhat. There are players that will tell me I have to conserve my body until we get to Thanksgiving and those games, because that's where we get to the playoffs. Players have told me that through the years. Season is far too damn long. They get beat up. They know it. So you just hope you don't fall too far behind or blow some games. Cardinals blew a game against Detroit. Cardinals blew a game against Carolina. Cardinals blew the game against San Francisco. So it's if you fire Cliff, and I took my stance a couple weeks back, he is on the clock for sure. If they start out 0-3, Michael's going to fire him. Guarantee this organization will fire Cliff if they're 0-3. They will. That's how they are. Go look up the history of Arizona Cardinal head football coaches. Just go look at it. In about every 3 to 4 years, they pull the ripcord, unless your last name is Arians or Wisenhunt. And even then, back to my Minnesota Vikings game example, even then, Ken was just, and by the time Ken was done here, he was done. He was just done. So I think firing him today, after just 2 years, after he went through 1 year with a mistake, and then Bruce towards the end was checked out. So I would not do that. I think that is a step backwards. You know, an order of what will change on this team. Do they have enough talent on the defensive side of the football? I'm going to talk to Sam about that with Pro Football Focus. Do they have enough defensive talent to win here? We can all see what's going on the offensive side of the football. If Larry came back next season, if Fitz comes back next year, to me, that would be a bit of a surprise. Would I like to see him come back? Sure. Would it bother me if he went and put on a jersey somewhere else to go after Jerry Rice's all-time record? No. He's put his time in here. He's been a good soldier. He's been loyal. I think everybody would understand. The division that the Cardinals are in, are they set up for success? The 49ers went to the Super Bowl just a year ago and were just destroyed by injuries. Just destroyed by them this year. And their quarterback play wasn't great out of Garoppolo. Do I think John Lynch is going to go out and figure that out? Yeah, I do. Is Seattle ever going to take a nosedive? I don't see it. So you go down the list of teams in the division and say, where are the Rams going from here? If they can't figure it out with Jared Goff, they still have the best defensive player in football on their defensive line. And you look at the rest of that team on that side of the football, Jalen Ramsey's as good as anybody. So that's a difficult, difficult position for them to be in. All that to say is, as we sit here today, firing the coach, don't see it. Firing coordinators, that happens, and that's going to be hard if that is what happens, or coordinator in this space. You go find a better defensive coordinator, you still have to have the right talent on the field. Is Patrick Peterson past his prime? The answer to that is probably yes. Is Hassan Reddick going to be looking around saying, hey, man, I got my New York Giants tape here to show everybody what I can do. You know, come check me out and go test the free agent market. Yeah, he probably will. You know, is Isaiah Simmons going to get better? Is he going to get better? So down the roster they go and you say, is it really the coordinator? Is it the talent? Is it a combination of both? And then, you know, during the year, they decided to keep Zane Gonzalez. And what happened? Those games that were close games that everybody is saying, oh, it's the Sun Devils. That's great in college. It's great. Okay. This is the NFL. Not for long. Can't make kicks with inside 50 yards. Gotta go. Gotta go. Those games cost this team the playoffs. Part of the reason why they're not there is losing to bad teams, miss kicks, and then the last 2 weeks, something internally was wrong. Something internally was off. There's no denying that. I don't know if it was DeAndre Hopkins' rant about, hey, man, why do I need to practice? I don't know if that went throughout the locker room. We're not allowed into the locker room, so we can only guess. And we go on Zoom. Go on Zoom with these coaches. They're not going to say anything. And Cliff didn't even show up for his radio show at the end of the year. It's unprofessional. Take the heat. That's what you do. All right. Heisman Trophy is tonight. I am a Heisman Trophy voter. I am not allowed to talk about my vote until our next get-together. And since that's not till Thursday, I'll just tell you that, there's always quarterbacks. Every now and then, a player comes along that's not a quarterback, and you just have to take a good, long, hard look at and say, And the Suns will host Toronto. That'll be tomorrow. U of A is getting a bunch of transfers. ASU fans aren't happy. These ASU, I'm out last night. I get this text from a big time ASU supporter, big booster, deep ties the program. Hey, we got this tackle from Florida. And then like an hour later, KJ Jarrell, who was at Saguaro, I'm out of here. I'm in the portal. And then like an hour later, Maldonado and Anderson, former Chandler Wolves, top program in the state, go to the U of A. And the big cigar ASU booster is like, yeah, well, KJ Jarrell's just got to get tougher. Like, I got, it's just like, your program is barely above 500. All right, enough of my ranting. Here in the opening segment, Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board today. He's guiding this ship. Up next, Pro Football Focus, Sam Monson. I'm Brad Sesmat. Sam Monson is with us now, lead analyst of the NFL with Pro Football Focus. If you've not gotten into Pro Football Focus, I don't know what you're waiting for. Now the playoffs are here. They have broken down the players, not just in the NFL, but the upcoming NFL draft as well. The Cardinal fans licking their wounds after missing the playoffs. Sam, from a distance, what went wrong out here in Arizona from Pro Football Focus's view?
Yeah, a lot of things, really. They obviously put themselves in a great position. I think part of the problem is they kind of adjusted expectations in the wrong direction. You know, heading into the season, this is probably where we expected them to end up, but it seems like such a disappointment given where they put themselves in a position to be with the performance over the first half and the fact that they had a couple of sort of win and in games towards the end. But ultimately, the passing game hasn't developed the way we expected it to with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray and now DeAndre Hopkins on board. You know, this team, it does some creative things in the run game with the way they're able to spread teams out and use that to their advantage. But they haven't developed this passing game the way we would have expected given those weapons, and Kyler Murray hasn't developed as a passing quarterback. You know, he added the sort of rushing threat to his game this season, which really elevated the floor of how bad this team could be in any given week. They're always going to be above a certain level, but he never really kicked on as a passer and developed the way we would have expected in year two, given how good he was as a rookie. And ultimately, I think that was found out towards the back end of the season.
From Pro Football Focus's end, statistically, are there some numbers that jump out at you about this team other than, hey, Brad, they went 8-8 and they missed the playoffs? Is there anything that fans can latch onto and say, they got to get better in this area? And I know you mentioned the passing game, but let's talk in particular about Kyler. What is it that PFF saw in Kyler?
Yeah, I just don't think he ever really moved on as a passer. And I don't think it's necessarily all his fault. You know, the offense generally, I don't think, is putting him in the best position to succeed and really putting all of their playmakers. They tie DeAndre Hopkins down to a very specific role on the sort of backside of formations, isolated one-on-one. And sometimes that helps him get favorable matchups, but it also means that, you know, if you're locked in to a cornerback like Jalen Ramsey, it's not going to get him away from him. You know, they're going to be able to keep Ramsey on Hopkins all game long. And if he's getting the better of that matchup, there's not an awful lot that Hopkins can do about it. He's not being freed up from those kinds of assignments. So it's really incumbent at that point on Murray to either go somewhere else completely, work against DeAndre Hopkins, his best receiver, or you're just forcing those guys to play low percentage plays. And that's kind of the bind that Deshaun Watson was in for the last few years in Houston, that, you know, you have a number one target, you have this guy that you want to go to and maximize, but if he's in a bad spot, you're left with this choice now of abandoning him and not giving him the targets, or just force feeding it into a tough situation. And I think they could get more creative in terms of where they line Hopkins up and, you know, maneuver him around and give both those guys a few easier passes to play with.
Sam Monson is with us, Pro Football Focus lead NFL analyst on the Cardinals missing the playoffs. Defensively, what did PFF see out of the Cardinals in this season?
Yeah, really, I think the defense is, you know, the weaker side of the ball for this team. There's a lot of talent there, but some of it is young talent and it's finding its feet. You know, Isaiah Simmons was obviously their first round draft pick a year ago. And between, you know, coming into the NFL, trying to find an NFL position, having been used as this kind of joker player in college, to no offseason to speak of, you know, no real ability to learn a position on the fly in preseason, all those kinds of things. It was a pretty rocky transition for him. But we started to see late on the kind of impact he can have as an NFL linebacker, his athleticism, his size, his speed, his ability to cover, given his college history as well, is impressive. And it's the kind of thing that will hold him in good stead. It was just going to take some time to get that working at the NFL level. And the problem is, while you're figuring that out, other teams are busy exploiting it. So, you know, week one, we saw what the 49ers did to Simmons, and that really, that almost kind of benched him at that point. You know, they pulled him essentially off the field, gave him a really small amount of playing time while he was adjusting. But that was a similar story throughout this defense. You know, there's some guys working their way to find the right role and to develop. And, you know, while that was happening, teams at this level, and particularly in that division, are really good at being able to target your weaknesses and go after them.
No, that's interesting stuff. What did you make out of Patrick Peterson, just from Pro Football Focus's end of things? He's in a situation where there's a lot of belief that he will not be back next season. Hassan Reddick is going to hit the free agent market because of the contract that's been structured. So you look at those two players, but I want you to start first, if you could, on Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, Peterson, he's a player that usually has graded slightly worse at PFF than his sort of overall perception of his play. And even this season, you know, I saw there was an article somewhere middle of the way through the season that was polling, you know, front office executives, NFL head coaches, and a lot of those guys still had Patrick Peterson as number one, two, three, one of the top cornerbacks in the NFL. And he just isn't at this point. You know, he may have been that once upon a time, but he is not that player anymore. And occasionally he finds a beneficial matchup where he can still physically go toe-to-toe with those guys. And he obviously understands his role, and he's usually in the right place at the right time, broadly speaking. But he's just not able to live with a lot of the better receivers in today's NFL. And certainly isn't in that very, very top echelon of corners, but he's still a good quality starter. And those are not necessarily easy to find in the NFL. So I think he'll still have a market, and he's still an attractive player for teams to bring in, but he isn't this shut down elite, you know, number one corner the way he used to be in his prime.
But Reddick, what'd you see out of Reddick this year?
Yeah, it's kind of a bizarre run down the stretch for Reddick. Obviously, the light really went on with that insane game against the Giants, where he had a ton of sacks, but he had a few other big games as well. And you know, you don't really see a player just flick a switch like that at random. I think he's another player for whom I don't think he was put in a great position to succeed for the first few years of his career. He was a really good college edge rusher at Temple, but he's undersized, you know, a 240-pound guy. And teams at the NFL level, just the second they find a guy like that, the inclination is always to try and make him into something else and convert him into an off-the-ball linebacker and, you know, try and put him where his body shape fits, as opposed to taking what he was good at and seeing if that works at the NFL level. And I think this was the first year where they really gave him that edge rusher role and said, okay, let's see if what he did at college so effectively still works at the NFL level. And sometimes it did. You know, it's essentially his rookie year for that role. He hasn't been asked to do that so far in his career. So it's he was never going to be the best edge rusher in the NFL, but we saw signs this year that he can be a good quality situational pass rusher at this level, just the same way he was in college. So I think, again, he'll have a market as well because, you know, he's got size, or he's got speed, he's got the ability to get after the quarterback. And those are two things that aren't necessarily easy to find. And particularly if teams have decided the same thing, that, you know, his role was mismanaged early in his career and there's a greater ceiling than even what we've seen so far, you know, he could have a kind of attractive market in what is, it's not the best edge rusher class in the world. So he could be a potential kind of bargain spot for teams.
Sam Monson with us with Pro Football Focus, lead NFL analyst. The Cardinals, let's just talk draft briefly. They're going to be in the middle of the first round. As you sit here today with the season now behind them, what is the glaring holes in your view, PFF's view, one? And then two, we'll get into you a little bit about the top end of the draft. Is it going to be quarterback, you know, from Clemson, from BYU, and from Ohio State? So let's just start with the Cardinals first.
I think they're in one of those positions that's it's good and bad to be in, and they've got a lot of places they could go. I don't think they have any, you know, catastrophic holes that are absolute must fills in the first round, but it means that, you know, you've got some problem areas and you could go in a number of different directions and wouldn't be wrong. In a way, I think that's a good position to be in the first round because you're not tied into this idea of chasing a certain position and potentially reaching if there's a run on a certain position that you want to fit. You can basically just wait to see how the board falls and pick the best player available at your spot. Yeah, I think this is a great draft for wide receivers. And I know they made the move for Hopkins and they've invested in the draft in recent seasons, whether it's Andy Isabella or the like, but they could still upgrade significantly a receiver. And I think the middle of the first round is probably going to be a very good place and opportunity to do that. It's a good tackle draft as well. There's a lot of very good offensive tackles in this draft and offensive line. You know, Arizona's has definitely taken steps in the right direction, and Kyler Murray helps an offensive line look better given what he can do with his legs, but they wouldn't be out of order upgrading a tackle as well. So yeah, I think they're in a pretty good spot in the draft.
The quarterbacks, is it going to be 1, 2, 3 again? It's the way it looks.
Yeah, I think it probably will be. It sort of depends on whether, you know, what the Dolphins want to do, whether they can find a trade partner to get out, whether they would entertain the idea of taking a quarterback for the second year in a row. The guy that could split those quarterbacks is obviously Penei Sewell, the tackle from Oregon, one of the best tackle prospects we've seen come along for years and, you know, deserving of a spot in those top few. But certainly Trevor Lawrence will go number one. I think both of the quarterbacks, the next two guys, Justin Fields and Zach Wilson, have ended their careers phenomenally. Obviously, Fields still has a game to go, but those guys put themselves in contention and showed that they would justify a number two or a number three pick. So it's really just a case of if somebody else wants to go after a guy like Penei Sewell or something else and trade into that spot.
Really good stuff. Really good insight, Sam. We appreciate your time and the good work at Pro Football Focus. Thanks.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.